evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. Sometimes when we get to this time on Sunday evening, when the show Ladies Can We Talk is once a week, Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., so many things have happened during the previous week that I have to kind of, as I'm planning for the detail about the show, I think, was that just this week? Because so many things happened that it's hard to believe that you're still in the same week. So this is one of those weeks. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I love doing Ladies Can We Talk. I love the first hour, often with guests. I love having my leading lady buddies join me in the second hour. We have a great show lined up tonight. One of the big topics we will be talking about tonight will be this Convention of States project idea, and we'll be talking, have an extended interview tonight with Senator Tom Coburn, starting at 6:30, who is supporting this project, who is heading it up, or at least one of the leaders of it, and understand how he sees it. And I will tell you, because I've actually received emails from you, my listeners, saying, hey, wait a minute, a lot of conservatives don't support this, or some conservatives don't, and you should tell both sides. Well, I am going to do that. I reached out to someone today who is affiliated with, or connected with Phyllis Schlafly and the Eagle Forum organization, and they have a person who's going to come on in next several weeks and talk about why they are not supporting this. So we are going to tell both sides, but it's a big issue and story to follow. And the big things that have happened this week that make it hard to decide which stories to cover in 2 hours, we had the State of the Union address, and then we had Governor Nikki Haley's response, the Republican response to the State of the Union, and then we had the GOP debates. We've had big news involving Iran, as I know you are all aware of. We're going to talk about what New York values are and a whole bunch of other great things on the show. I want to use this opening segment, which I refer to as my Speak Up for America segment. I want to talk a little bit about the controversy surrounding Nikki Haley's response to the State of the Union and what she said, you know, in a veiled way about Donald Trump, and later acknowledged it was. And I'm just going to play a little bit from the debate, the GOP debate that was this past week, and an answer that Donald Trump gave. And here you go.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, in her response to the State of the Union address.
She looks great.
Appeared to choose sides within the party, saying Republicans should resist, quote, the siren call of the angriest voices. She confirmed she was referring to you, among others. Was she out of line? And how would a President Trump unite the party?
Okay. First of all, Nikki this afternoon said I'm a friend of hers, actually a close friend. And wherever you are sitting, Nikki, I am a friend. We're friends. That's good. But she did say there was anger. And I could say, oh, I'm not angry. I'm very angry. Because our country is being run horribly, and I will gladly accept the mantle of anger.
I'm going to cut it off there and say that's really one of the main points I want to dive into and talk about in this opening segment. You know, we talk about the purpose, and you know, this show, my entire show, Ladies Can We Talk, is all about the idea of trying to have all of us as Americans begin to treasure again, identify again, learn again, what is the unique American identity? Why is America so great? What makes it great? And how do we hold on to that greatness? And we can't hold on to it if we don't know what made it great to start with. Well, I will say that Donald Trump's response, saying essentially, yes, I am angry, is exactly the same response of the whatever percentage of voters it is he has supporting him in the GOP presidential primary. It's, you know, often but up near 40%. I don't know what it's at this week. The rolling national polls vary. But if you're not angry, you don't understand what America is. If you're not angry what's happening to this country, it's because you don't know what America's supposed to be. And so you're not that bothered by what has happened to our country since 2009, when President Barack Obama took over as our president, as our commander-in-chief, sort of commander-in-chief. He's not really that. But I want to talk about this idea that, you know, and I'm going to give a little personal analogy. I will say one of my best friends in life was married to a guy, and he was, she discovered not being faithful. So she confronted him and she said, you know, how could you do this? And so his answer was often, I can't talk to you if you're so angry. So he would say, we can't have a conversation because you're too angry. And she's saying, of course I'm angry. You are destroying our marriage. Well, this is kind of like, and I know it's a rough analogy, but it is the non-answer the American left gives all the time when we are pointing out all of the really terrible things that President Obama has done to this country in the last 7 years, and we try to point them out, and the left and their pals in the media say, why are you guys so angry? I don't know why you're angry. Why can't you just get along better? Come on, don't be angry. This is the problem, that we are not even having a conversation in America about substantive policy. We're having Republicans point out, and all of the Republican presidential candidates and many others pointing out, hey, we have a porous border is not even close enough to an accurate description. We have no southern border. We are bringing by the tens of thousands unvetted Muslim refugees from Syria and other countries who mean us harm. Some portion of them do. No one can say what portion that is, but we're bringing them in. Our economy is in a mess, and we have the president standing up, smiling in a State of the Union, and telling America, man, things are just going great. Look how great our economy is. We got unemployment numbers down. And everyone out here in the real world, we know that people are not working, that the labor force participation rate is painfully low. Americans are not working. This happy talk about the economy, President Obama and the people in the media who just echo chamber everything he says, tells America everything's okay. And we're supposed to say, oh, okay, we'll salute and it's okay. So when people are angry, it is because they are tired of being lied to, tired of having our country run into the ground, tired of having a president who is not standing up for America's place in the world, a president who is allowing ISIS to expand and grow and run roughshod, who is not willing to identify the main enemy of the free world, which is radical Islamic terrorism. He's not even willing to identify it for what it is. Even when it happens in American soil, he can't tell the truth about it. So yes, there's pent-up frustration over many, many, many things. I could recount the idea that where our economy is, what the employment numbers are. I could recount the areas of government where the government has expanded, taken away our liberty, taken away our freedom, expanded the growth and power and strength of the federal government. We have the EPA out of control trying to shut down industries. We have a Congress, even a majority Republican Congress, who sits there in Washington, watches President Obama run roughshod over the Constitution, run roughshod over the idea that there is a separation of powers, that he, the president, doesn't have any role to play in making laws. Congress, your elected officials, they make laws. The president's job is to be the executive branch, to enforce the laws. It is not to make them up. But Congress sits idly by as the president writes regulation after regulation relating to Obamacare, relating to expansion. He tweaks Obamacare to his pleasure, to reward his enemies, to get after those he doesn't like. He amends the federal immigration laws. He is allowing this massive influx of people, not just the Syrian Muslim refugees, but influx across the southern border. He is allowing the demise of this. He is committing the demise of this country. And Republicans in Washington occasionally wring their hands and say, gee, that's really bad. But no one's standing up. So, yeah, that's why people are mad. And I want to say the reason I wanted to have this segment is to say this. America was founded on political conversation. You're actually allowed to talk about the dangers of radical Islam. You're allowed to talk about immigration policy failing to support the idea of America. You're allowed to talk about the idea that immigration policy should actually, number one goal should be, if you want to become an American citizen, you must become an American. We're allowed to say America needs to reassert its place in the world. We are needed as a leader, a moral force in the world. We must have a newly re-energized, refunded, built-up military, because we are only going to have peace when America is strong. And Americans know this, and they're watching the demise of this country. And to say that somehow when you're angry, you're not being patriotic, you're not participating, sorry, folks. No, what is needed, the actually informed people, it's kind of like back in the time of the founding of our country. People did not sit around talking about, you know, what do you think about King George's latest imposition and whim and unfairness? Well, I don't know. I mean, people who had clarity, they had moral clarity, they had clarity of thought, they had a right idea about liberty and the rights of man, and they said, no, we are not just going to sit around and take what King George is doing to us. We're going to stand up. Well, that's where we are right now in this election. Now, I did not play Donald Trump's quote from that the debate this week, and particularly to support him, but to say this idea that it is divisive to be angry is absurd. You know, and President Obama's, I'll just part with this when we've got to get to our break here, but in President Obama's State of the Union address, in the same address, he said in the beginning, one of his deepest regrets, where he called for an end to poisonous partisan politics. It has grown, and that was a regret of his presidency. But then he went right on within three breaths to say, to slam Donald Trump several times, including the idea that Donald Trump's proposal for a temporary halt to Islamic immigration to America betrays who we are. Americans, I mean, this is why Donald Trump is popular, because he's saying what the vast majority of Americans are thinking. Stop bringing people here when we don't know whether they want to kill us. That's about it. Stop bringing people here if you can't assure us that they're not coming here to kill us. And then, so in the same speech where he says, you know, we end this partisan rancor, he mocks people who challenge his climate change hoax that he's spending millions of your tax dollars on. So it was a speech where trying to sound like he's taking the high ground, President Obama taking the high ground and instantly mocking anyone who dares disagree with him. So if you're really, I do this show to speak up for America. If you want to be one of the people who speak up for America, it's okay that you're angry at what's happening to our country. In fact, if you're not angry, you're really not tuned in. So on the show tonight, we're going to race through and, you know, you can hear I talk a little bit fast. I grew up in New York, so I have an excuse. I talk fast, but I want to have time tonight to talk about, you know, this is, in fact, some of this concern about America is underlying the effort to push toward a convention of states, to do something about the runaway federal government growth of power, of scope of its power, depth of its power, just pure size. We're going to talk about what people are doing to get this country back, to fight back for this country. We're going to talk about the GOP debate. We're going to talk about what's happening with Hillary Clinton. There's a whole lot coming up. So I so appreciate your tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, and I hope you'll stay tuned in this very, very brief break and come back. Don't go away. And after this break, we'll come back. We'll talk about the GOP debate this week. I have a couple of things I want to share with you about that. So come back to Ladies Can We Talk after this break. And this is Debbie George S. and Ladies Can We Talk.
Is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager sees a weakening in the foundation of this country.
If the core values of America are weakened, then it's over. It means that the experiment initiated by the founders of the United States of America is over. We will become, if you will, Belgium or Germany or Denmark, and that is indeed what a serious part of America would like.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
This is Debbie Georgiadis. On this show, we've been talking about the idea that Americans must reclaim the identity of America, the components of the American dream. This American identity is made up of ideas, and these ideas are the reason that America is the most exceptional nation on earth. But to hold on to this American identity, we have to connect the dots between the ideas and today's policy choices. This American identity includes equal rights for everyone from our Creator, individual, not collective rights, equal application of the law, free markets, and the entrepreneurial spirit, a strong connection between hard work and reward, private property rights, national unity around ideas and not ethnicity, and a rock-solid commitment to the freedom of religion, speech, and assembly. If we lose this American identity, we lose America. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Hey, it's Mark Davis with a big Happy New Year from my friends at Good Feet. The folks at Good Feet tell you a lot about pain, getting out of pain, because foot pain can become leg pain, hip pain, even back pain. But you know what? Maybe you're not in pain, but you could just be better balanced, more comfortable, much more supported while working out. Yes, arch supports, the right kind of arch support. America's number one arch support is great for you if you're not having pain. You're just walking a lot, working out a lot. It's just a good idea for everybody. So visit the Good Feet stores, Plano, Fort Worth, Southlake, or check them out online, goodfeetdfw.com. Goodfeetdfw.com. Arch supports designed for all activities, all shoe types. Listen, these folks have been around for more than 20 years, helping millions experiencing foot, knee, hip, or back pain. Visit one of those three locations, Southlake, Plano, Fort Worth, or look them up at goodfeetdfw.com. Goodfeetdfw.com. Get out of pain or get in better shape today with my friends at Goodfeet. GoodFeetDFW.com.
If you're over 50 and concerned about any of the following, stay tuned for an exclusive free bottle offer. Are you concerned about your heart health? Are you interested in healthy brain function? What about joint comfort? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, we want to send you a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus. Krill Omega 50 Plus combines krill oil with ultra-pure fish oil in one tiny pill, and it promotes your joint health, your heart health, your arteries, brain function, and even your eye health. Best of all, you can get a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus today. Just pay for shipping, and we'll send you a free bottle. Experience the miracle of Krill Omega 50 Plus. Call now for your free bottle. 1-800-313-1982. That's 1-800-313-1982. 1-800-313-1982. 1-800-313-1982. Again, call now. 1-800-313-1982.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples. Make more happen. And right now, buy any HP ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store staples.com for details.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. You know, this is going to be a shorter segment so we can start right on time with Senator Tom Coburn at 6:30 to talk about the Convention of States idea project. And so I want to just actually add a few comments about the State of the Union, the GOP debate, and really the political mood of this country that I think is really, it's important to be precise about. People in the public, people in the media, listen to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and put the two of them in the kind of a category of angry. And, you know, this idea of being angry, I talked about it in my opening segment, but there's a very right idea of righteous indignation, righteous anger. It's a moral anger. It would be immoral not to be angry. It is like my friend I analogized to or told you the story of her husband, when she would confront him about his infidelity, he would say, "Why are you so angry?" And so then the debate became, "Why are you angry?" Well, this is what's happening in America when Ted Cruz is capturing and Donald Trump in different ways, different people, I guess, but capturing that anger people feel. It's right to be angry when you're watching the destruction of America, whether it is in America, you know, the idea that our borders have become just a joke. We have people pouring in. We have new busloads of unaccompanied children obviously being encouraged to come to America because it is presented as a safe haven. They can be fed and educated and housed and clothed and turned into voters magically before we know it. This is a Democrat policy. This is what President Obama is doing at our borders. It is the idea of the broader question of immigration and what are we doing with respect to bringing in refugees who are Islamic, and we don't know whether they are coming here to be the next San Bernardino shooter. Why is it you would be? It is the moral outrage, the proper moral outrage that says we're not going to allow that to happen. The foreign policy America has experienced, you know, I'll tell you, there's one quote. There's a foreign policy analyst, Abe Greenwald, wrote in the commentary, "Obama has not been blindsided in the things that are happening in foreign policy. He has chosen policies that have emboldened ISIS and rejected other options at every turn. As a result of this, he has chosen poorly, again and again, creating a linked set of escalating crises around the world. Those people, the bullies, the evil leaders of the world, see, hey, there's nobody in charge in the world because America is just vacant on the international scene. And so groups such as, or countries or groups such as Russia, China, North Korea, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, ISIS, all these groups say, wow, this is our time. We should be emboldened. Let's get out there. I wanted to touch, too, on Nikki Haley. She is a governor. She's a wonderful governor of South Carolina. She's very popular. She's a good person. She's a good governor. I've actually met her and had a chance to talk to her. I like her. She's very nice. But I do not, like the left does, put up a woman as a candidate or as an official and say because she's a woman, she can say no wrong. Like the left does with Hillary Clinton. Doesn't matter what she's done or said in her life. She's a woman, therefore she gets to be president. I do like Nikki Haley, but I did not think that her response to the State of the Union was correct. And if you read it on paper, it sounds nice. There were some really good points, kind of almost poignant points she made in that speech. But at the end of the day, the speech was designed to criticize Donald Trump. It was to take a swipe at the idea that this is, and I played the quote in the beginning, so I won't play it again, but it was kind of, come on now, folks, let's not go off on the angry stuff here. She had acknowledged after the State of the Union that she was speaking about Donald Trump. What she's saying is, just go along and play the game as it's been set up in Washington. We're not going to upset things in Washington in any really big way. She's actually taken a shot at Ted Cruz also. The other candidate in the GOP side has been really, really strong. So I think that and more bold, honest, open, and criticizing what President Obama is doing to this country. And Nikki Haley, if your job was to speak as the GOP representative of the GOP in response, the Republican Party, in response to President Obama, and taking a shot at the guy who's got the two top vote getters of all of the GOP presidential candidates. In fact, many pundits are saying at this point, the race has come down to two people on the GOP side. Now, I'm not going to say that myself, but there are a lot of folks saying it's probably going to come down to Trump and Cruz. So if your job is to speak to inspire Americans to get behind the GOP and your speech is designed to scold the top two GOP vote getters, at least in polling data, you're not really speaking for the party. Or said the other way, you are criticizing the American public. You're criticizing GOP primary voters. You're telling them, you guys are kind of stupid. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be supporting these guys. Let us in the establishment tell you exactly what you should be doing, saying and not saying, or who you should be liking. What Nikki Haley was saying was she does not like, or she's more in the establishment than she is on the conservative side. So she wants to have the establishment go along, get along, come on, don't sound angry. And, it was a really out-of-step point for her to make, out-of-step with the mood of the American people and especially the mood of the GOP primary voters. And when she acknowledged afterward that she ran a draft of her speech, you should be sitting down for this, she ran a draft of her speech by Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Those are the people she chose to run her speech by. People who are, who are so reviled by the GOP primary voting base, especially Mitch McConnell. Paul Ryan, maybe want to give him another, couple years, a couple months, see if he's going to come around. But Paul Ryan became Speaker of the House and immediately capitulated to President Obama on his major budget deal, the omnibus bill. He became Speaker of the House after the conservatives had ousted John Boehner, and his first significant action as Speaker of the House was to sign on to the budget deal the president wanted to bring Republican support behind the Democrats' agenda, selling out the conservatives whom he promised he was going to be conservative, he's going to be there for them. In fact, there was a headline, White House declares total victory over the GOP in the budget battle. This was December of 2015. So I say all that to say this is a time for serious, patriotic, intelligent thinkers to think for yourselves. And if you are upset about things, it's good to be upset. But the next step is to figure out what you believe and then get involved in this campaign cycle. Get involved because this is going to be, there's a GOP debates going on and more upcoming, GOP primaries starting. And the mood of the country is not this irrational, ignorant rant. It is profoundly and well-informed, patriotic Americans who want their country back. That's what's happening. They want their country back. They want the president to stop destroying this country. They want the GOP in Washington to stand up and fight for what they claimed they stand up and fight for. One other quick thing I wanted to mention to you about the I did actually enjoy watching the GOP debates this week. I watched the under debate with just the three candidates involved. And then it was Carly Fiorina and Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum. And then in the major stage, there were seven candidates. I just wanted to say one closing thing because we're going to go after a break here. But they were all stellar. You heard some actually really, they all did a good job. Well, okay, I could criticize a few, but mostly they were all really good. And they all, you could hear it in their voices too. They don't have the angry, not all of them had the angry tone, but they're all saying, look what's happening to our country. We need to get our economy back working. We need to get in a actually bustling free market economy, bringing jobs to this country. And you heard a lot of talk about wanting to speak more to the average Main Street, you know, mainstream America family, you know, the guy who's a plumber married to his wife, who's a licensed vocational nurse. I mean, the average kind of person. You heard more from these GOP candidates about what has to happen in America to get our economy bustling again, to get our immigration situation straightened around, to get our border secure, to have our country get America back. And this is going to be vital in this election season, is for people to be able to tie what the GOP stands for to the everyday American. Because what the GOP is supposed to stand for, now I could criticize lots of Republicans, and I do it all day long on this show, but what the GOP is supposed to stand for are exactly the same ideas that America is supposed to be all about, which is one of the things we talk on the show about all the time. Limited government, free markets, rights from God, a government that is there to protect your rights and to not control your life. We'll talk on the show for the next year, and I hope many, many, many years to come, about the idea of what America is supposed to be. And when the GOP is speaking that message, it will resonate with the people. But we are at a time, we've got to work hard to get the idea to the American people, to get them to see what America is supposed to be and how it's our job to bring that America back and to point out what's happening to our country under President Obama, because he is a silver-tongued orator, if nothing else. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies Can We Talk? Come back after our break. We'll talk with Senator Tom Coburn.
Is 660 AM the answer? John David Wells.
So you've just gone through open enrollment for your employer's health care plan. You decided on a plan, everything's fine, and then you realize you could save a bunch of money doing something called a wellness program. And then the insurance company starts telling you how to live. And they do a lot of things that I don't think have anything to do with what they should be doing as a purveyor of insurance.
John David Wells, weeknights at 8, followed by Hugh Hewitt on 660 AM, The Answer.
My book and radio show have the same name, Ladies Can We Talk? The reason I wrote the book, do the radio show, and speak to groups around the country is that I want to inspire people to remember again why America is great. Not just to say that America is great, but to understand why. My job on this show is not only to talk about the issues and events of the day and interview interesting people, but to connect the dots between how we solve today's issues and the impact they'll have on our future. I do this show to persuade listeners that real answers to the challenges we face can only be found by uniting around ideas like American-style liberty, talking less about political labels and identity politics, and more about the uniquely American identity is the only path to greater unity among Americans. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer. We talk truth about America. We'll be right back.
It's easy. You sit down, you log into Ticketmaster.com. You grab your tickets, and now you wait. Knowing that February 12th is coming, and when it does, you and your friends, yeah, you're going to kick off the new year like a boss.
Our sister station,
94.9 KLTY and the Dallas Baptist University Concert Series, proudly welcomes The Roadshow to the American Airlines Center February 12th with Jeremy Camp, The Newsboys, Finley Force 5, Mandisa, Citizen Way, Phil Wickham, Danny Gokey, and Sean Groves. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or at American Airlines Center. Reserve seats are $20 or at the door the day of for $10. VIP tickets on sale now at theroadshowtour.com.
One of the things about winter is our air conditioning bill goes down quite a bit, but our heating bill goes up quite a bit. So you start looking at the balance and realize that you're still spending $300 or $400 or $500 a month on utilities. You're giving that away, and at the end of the year, you've spent $6,000 and you have absolutely nothing to show for it. You know what you could do? You could put in some energy efficient replacement windows. One of the things that our windows do is pay for themselves in 3 to 5 years. We all want to stay more comfortable. We all want to live in a nice environment. One of the ways to do that is quality replacement windows. Hi, I'm Dave Trainer of The Window Connection. I'd love the opportunity to come out, look over your home, show you what some options might be, bring you samples. We offer 10 different manufacturers and would love to show you what new replacement windows can do on your home.
Call The Window Connection for an estimate at 972-620-1994. That's 972-620-1994. Or go online to thewindowconnection.net.
Did you pay a lot for that quote top-of-the-line mattress and it's already breaking down and uncomfortable? Time to look into the Sovin European Sleep System. The Sovin bed is simply a better bed made with certified organic cotton and wool covers and 100% natural latex cushioning. Never polyurethane or memory foam. More comfortable, too. Custom tailored for greater individualized comfort based on your size, weight, and primary sleeping positions. Superior comfort and durability with Made in America prices. Sovin European Sleep Systems in Dallas and Southlake. Learn more at SOVN.com.
660 AM, The Answer.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Well, hi there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. And I believe we have online Senator Tom Coburn. Hi, sir.
How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm great.
You know, I didn't get to tell our listeners, I'm going to quick say, last week, my husband and I attended the Texas Public Policy Foundation meeting in Austin and heard you speak about this idea of the Convention of States. And I was so glad afterward that we were able to connect and say, introduce ourselves and invite you to come on the show. And so I want to talk about just the background that, of your thinking about this. I mean, you've... First of all, you're a United States Senator from Oklahoma. You're a very successful person. You're a doctor. And one thing you said in your speech at TPPF struck me. You said that you said when you left the Senate, which I think was in 2014, that you needed to go because the things that were wrong with America couldn't be fixed by the Senate. Is that about right?
That's correct. I don't believe we can fix our problems in Washington.
So what is it? What do you mean by that? What kind of problems are you speaking of?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that we're not growing economically, the fact that we have $142 trillion, that's T-trillion dollars of unfunded liabilities, and nobody in Washington with the courage to address that. We have a careerism that says my career comes first, not what's best for the country. And I'm talking about from a bipartisan standpoint. Republicans and Democrats alike, that the first thing they do is what looks good for me for my next election rather than what's great for the country. And so, I spent 10 years in the Senate and I left because, you know, I stopped hundreds of billions of bills but that were authored by both Republicans and Democrats that, number one, weren't paid for, and number two, were outside the role of Congress in the first place. And most of them were designed to enhance the career of the politician that wrote them. So I've decided, and this historically, this is true, too, of every republic. You can't fix it at the center of power when they're asked to give up power to solve it. So the answer is what our founders thought? The answer is the strongest thing that should come in our governing history shouldn't be the Supreme Court, shouldn't be the president, shouldn't be the Congress. It should be the state legislatures. And they have the power under Article 5 of the Constitution, when the founders knew we were going to get in this shape, to actually call a convention of states and change the rules, because the people who we elect won't do it.
That's a very eloquent summary. And I appreciate that very much. We're speaking with Senator Tom Coburn, former senator of Oklahoma, is also a doctor, and he is involved with heading up, I believe, the project to call for a convention of the states. So I do want to have our listeners, because you hear a lot of, I know there are many, many conservative leaders coming out in favor of the convention of the states and speaking about doing this, but I just want to take a minute to make clear how profound this is, because this isn't just a meeting of legislators, which occurs all the time, coming together and saying, hey, let's all have similar policies on, you know, national speed limits or drug sentencing. This is actual a convention of representative states that, if the whole thing worked out as it is outlined in the Constitution, would result in new amendments to the Constitution, right?
New amendments being offered to the states, who would have to ratify them. So the only thing a convention of states does, it says, what are the problems of America? What is the solution? Are we following in the history prior to us of republics? And the answer to that is absolutely we are. Can we offer changes to our Constitution that would, number one, cause us to balance our budget, use general accepted accounting principles, put term limits on both federal judges and members of Congress, and number three, limit the scope and jurisdiction of the federal government. And then whatever, and that's the only thing that can be discussed under these applications. You can't discuss gun rights, you can't discuss abortion, you can't discuss gay marriage, you can only discuss what you've applied for. And 37 states are making an application is in their legislatures this year. Five have already passed it. And what will happen is, if those are, and they're just joint resolutions, the governor doesn't have anything to do with them in any of the states. And if you have 34 states that do that, then we'll have a convention. But the convention only makes recommendations to the states, and then 38 states have to approve them for them to come into existence.
I'm really glad we're taking the time to talk about the process, because I started to say a moment ago about being profound. In one way, it could result in profound changes to America. And I mean, by that, I mean good changes, but changes that would, people feel frustrated with Washington. They see career politicians. They see how hard it is to unseat an incumbent, no matter how bad or weak their voting record is or their performance is. So people see problems. They see the budget, the debt grow and feel helpless. So this is a way to actually end run the power out of Washington back to the states, to the people, to figure this out. But there's certainly a great deal of anxiety being created by some who think this is not a good idea. And so this is why I really want to have our listeners understand how measured and incremental the process is to get around to an eventual potential change. So one thing you said, and I want to have you elaborate on it, you said, I think when you spoke in Austin, was the idea that you said, for example, it wouldn't be on gun rights. This effort you're doing would have has a set number of issues you're asking state legislatures to identify as the ones that you want to have be the subject matter of the convention. And again, they were fiscal restraints and term limits and limiting the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. So every state who passes this has to have all the same items in there in order for it to meet the standard of a convention. Is that right?
For it has to be almost identical applications for it to meet the requirement of 34 states. And that's been litigated before. All the jurisprudence on this has been, we know what it is, and we know what the history is of this amendment, and we know what the expectations of this amendment were. Hamilton and Madison both wrote about there's going to come a time when the government's going to be out of control, and the states are going to need to do this. That's why they put it in. And you have groups that say, oh, my goodness, this might get out of control. And they claim that the original Constitution was out of control. But when you look at it, 11 of the 13 states told their delegates to do whatever they needed to do with the Articles of Confederation to fix our country. So they wrote a new constitution. So they gave them a wide range of ability to do that. Two states, Massachusetts and New York, New York left after the New Jersey model was rejected. And Massachusetts, when it came back, their legislature agreed with what their delegates had done. So the idea that this is that the first constitutional convention was out of control, and number two, that this one can get out of control, it's fear. And here's the dangerous thing for us, Debbie, is if you go around the country, whether you're in very liberal areas of the country or very conservative, and I've been in 21 states last year, everybody is worried about our country right now. Doesn't matter what your political bent is, you're worried. People know things aren't right. So the question is what do we do about them? Do we treat symptoms, or do we actually go to the core and treat the disease? And the disease is an overgrown, overbearing, far outside the limited government was supposed to be, federal government. And the answer to that is to change it. And we have the ultimate power. If you'll remember in the Constitution, it said outside of these things, the enumerated powers, everything else is left to the people and the states. And the federal government over the last 35, 40 years has totally ignored that. And so now you can't do anything in Texas on education without asking Mother May I from the federal government. Or when you build a highway, it has to cost 50% more than when you spend your own money than because of federal regulations. And talk to your agricultural people, what the government's doing to them, and your manufacturing people. So the idea is let's put it back to where it needs to be. Fix the real problem.
Kind of like a big course correction for America. We're speaking with Senator and Dr. Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. And, sir, we need to zip off to a break, but may I ask you to hold on during the break and stand by? Thank you very much. I really love talking about this convention of the states and separating fact and fiction. So, you know what? We're going to don't go anywhere. Keep that dial right here on 660 AM and come back after the break. And we'll talk with Senator Tom Coburn. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show.
Mornings 7 to 10
on 660 AM. The Answer.
Poll results make for big news stories, especially in election years. Only 7% of mainstream media self-identify as conservative or Republican. Many in media peddle their liberal agenda as news reporting and then push that agenda by reporting results of their own agenda-driven polling. For example, one recent poll found that a significant majority of Americans support the idea of preventing future jihadist attacks like San Bernardino by temporarily halting Islamic immigration to America. Another poll the same week found that a majority of Americans opposed the idea. The results were shaped by how the question was asked. This is Debbie Georgiatis. Some polls try to shape, not measure, public opinion. Don't let poll results shape your opinions. Trust your thinking and stay informed. And keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM The Answer. We talk truth about America.
911, what is your emergency?
Please, please help me. My car, it's been stolen.
Did you know the FBI reports that every 40 seconds a vehicle is stolen in America? And if you think it's only the flashy sports cars, think again. Hey, Kurt Chase here for GuidePoint System. With over 25 years in the auto industry and now host of the Automotive Edge radio show, I've helped a lot of consumers find a replacement for their stolen car, truck, and SUV. And trying to replace that exact car with your insurance company, well, let's just think for a second. A GuidePoint anti-theft recovery system or trying to replace your car. Not only is GuidePoint system an anti-theft recovery system, but also with the push of a button, connect to a live GuidePoint representative 24/7 for roadside assistance, emergencies, and directions. To learn more about GuidePoint, go to GuidePointSystems.com. That's GuidePointSystems.com. GuidePoint System, the only anti-theft recovery system endorsed by the Automotive Edge Radio Show.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-472-3407. That's 1-800-472-3407. 1-800-472-3407. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-884-1759. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-884-1759. 800-884-1759. That's 800-884-1759.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. 660 AM. The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there. Thanks again for tuning in, Ladies Can We Talk. And we are speaking tonight with Senator Tom Coburn, who is a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. And I want to loop back to one thing you said earlier, and then Senator Coburn, and then move forward. You did say that is the project in part giving or advisory language to each of the states so that you're assuring that the states who get behind this have all outlined the same subjects that the convention states would then address?
Right. 37 states will bring forth or attempt to bring forth joint resolutions that are identical language.
Okay, and so you said the governors in those states cannot veto it because it's just a resolution by the state assembly.
Right, it's a joint resolution.
I love that.
So it doesn't involve the governors. The governors can encourage it. But the fact is, most governors, when they think about it, are going to be for this because it returns power to them and to their states to make great decisions for their individual citizens rather than it lying in a 100,000-person Department of Human Service or a 75,000-person Department of Homeland Security. You know, I mean, it's just what we've done is ludicrous when you think about it from common sense. The assumption that somebody in Washington cares more, knows more than we do to govern ourselves. And so it's not about eliminating the federal government from its true roles. It's about restoring the federal government to where it was supposed to be, a limited federal government that enhanced the freedom for everybody and through that freedom followed the Constitution. You know, Debbie, we have two constitutions right now. We have the ones that, although it had problems and that made mistakes that our founders gave us, and now we have one that has essentially been changed by 5-4 decisions of the Supreme Court, especially of late, that has no connection whatsoever to our original document. And they've ignored the Commerce Clause, they've ignored the General Welfare Clause, and everything the federal government does that seems inappropriate to us, most of them have used either the Commerce Clause or the General Welfare Clause to say that's a role for the federal government. Like telling you a little water spot in your backyard now is to be controlled by the Corps of Engineers of the U.S. Army because it's standing water.
You know, I remember that from law school. I went to law school back east in Washington, D.C., and learning about how the Commerce Clause was one of those that just somehow Congress magically discovered, gee, this is a way to regulate almost everything. And there hasn't been a court's cracking down that, saying, no, that doesn't authorize the Congress regulating every single aspect of American life. But Commerce Clause is so broadly interpreted, as you know, by the courts. So is your convention, the state proposal, going to include addressing that question?
Sure. When you talk about limiting the scope and jurisdiction of the federal government, we can redefine or reinstitute what the Commerce Clause means. And the federal government would have to follow that.
You know,
we can reinstitute what the General Welfare Clause means. And the Congress would have to follow that.
Love it. You know, we're actually you're singing Texas's tune. I'm sure you know this. These are very popular in Texas. I do want to ask you just a couple of things I hear from people who are concerned about this. One is, and it's really not an argument that it could be harmful, but just almost what is the point of doing this? Because the courts and generally the executive branch ignore the Constitution anyway. So what difference does it make if we make different if we make changes to the Constitution? This whole effort isn't worthwhile. What do you think?
I don't think that's a true statement. Number one, the Congress certainly follows the Constitution most of the time. It's not the Constitution our founders wrote. It's the one the courts have written. And up until this president, most presidents have followed the Constitution. So I don't think that's right. What we've seen is that the courts have ignored the writings of our founders, have ignored common sense, and have made, it's just like Justice Roberts' last decision on the Affordable Care Act.
Yep.
Everybody knows his decision was wrong. They also know that he has set a precedent that gives the power of the court over the power of the presidency and the Congress now. Because what they said in that decision was, we don't care what the Congress says, we'll decide. And even though it was written out there very plainly what the intent of the legislation was. So we're to a point that we need to fix it. Now, I know we're about to run out of time, so I want to make a couple of points. Number one, those that oppose it, and I've answered the question about runaway convention, those that oppose it, if you agree we're in trouble, what's your solution?
Exactly.
More of the same? More of the same? Continuing to totally destroy our children's future with the debt that's coming? I mean, look at our financial condition this year already, just with the lack of confidence in the stock market. So what is your answer? The second thing is, let's say everything that everybody says against this is right, that it's a runaway convention. They could take away your Bill of Rights. Well, I have a great answer to that. It's called Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Arizona, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, all the southern states. None of them are going to vote to do that because the only thing it takes is 13 legislators to do nothing, and nothing that comes out of this convention will happen. So there is no downside risk for this, and to do nothing says you agree that we need to continue to unwind and lose more of our freedoms.
Yeah, you know, that is certainly how I see it. I'm very glad you laid all that thinking out because I think there is there's some fear and there's certainly misinformation and almost disinformation about this. And I think it's important, you know, what you just said a moment ago about what is your answer. People say, well, we'll just stay in the fight how it is now. But we are stuck in the fight because of the lack of limitations on term limits in Washington, limitations on the power and scope of Washington, and they won't change it from within, which goes back to the point we started off from when you left the Senate, because the Senate is not in a position to fix this because it's the very people up there who are perpetuating and do not want the changes the convention states would bring.
Yeah, you're never going to get 60 Ted Cruz's or Tom Coburn's in the U.S. Senate.
And we could try.
That's what it would take to fix it. And you're just not going to do it because you don't have the people running for office that have the courage to say, I'm going to go up there and fix what's wrong, and I know I'm not going to get reelected, and that's okay. And you know what? People would reelect him because it would be for the first time they'd see something honest and straightforward. And they'd trust him because they know they're working on the real problem, not the symptoms. And you won't get a political spin coming at them. Our country, we can save our country. We can fix what's wrong with us, but we can't fix it the way we're trying to fix it now. And so our founders, very wisely, they were wise in everything. I mean, they made mistakes on slavery, and they made mistakes on women's suffrage. They made a lot of mistakes, but 90%, they got right. And the courts have slowly diminished. Just a little talk. Thomas Jefferson trying to get the University of Virginia started. Somebody came to him and said, why don't you get the federal government to help you with a grant? He said, you don't understand the Constitution, my friend. For the federal government to be involved in education, you would have to have an amendment to the Constitution. So we've spent $3.6 trillion since 1976 on education. There's not one parameter that's better. So our founders were wise. States need to run education. Local school boards need to run education, not the federal government.
We have $3.6 trillion more in our pocket today.
Yep,
if we had not done that.
That is a great closing story, and I know you need to go too, and we are up against our break very shortly. But speaking with Senator Tom Coburn, I urge our listeners to Google, or do you know the website for Convention of States?
It's conventionofstates.com.
Okay. Senator Coburn, thank you so much for calling in.
Debbie, good to talk with you.
Great to have
God
you
bless
on.
You.
And folks, I'm going to tell you, there is an event coming up in Dallas on February 9th that we'll tell you about after the break related to Convention of States. It's important to get straight facts and not the hype or the fear. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Just quick outtake for a few quick commercials. There we are. Come back. We're just getting started. Our second hour, Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. In a 1940s movie called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, she's married to a creepy guy who's trying to drive her insane so he can put her away and get access to her money. To do that, he misleads, mocks, and berates her to make her question what she sees, hears, and thinks. This gaslight tactic the creepy husband uses is used in today's politics. Mainstream Americans want border security and an end to sanctuary cities. But we're berated by politicians who say that if we think that, we're racist. Many Americans support traditional marriage, but we're told we're haters if we think that. Same on abortion. We either support it or we are part of the war on women. All of that is gaslighting, and it works when we are silenced by those who mock. Gaslighting shuts down free speech and thoughtful conversation. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
This is Houston. Your oxygen levels will be depleted unless you put the valve modulator into the auxiliary gauge after you have calibrated the flexternal matrix, not the external matrix. Do not touch that one.
I'm just the cook.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because with TurboTax, you can snap a photo of your W-2 with your smartphone, and it will automatically put your information into all the right forms. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Through this door, you've got your guest bathroom. And the mosaic tile you see on the floor is original to the house.